Join me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll read from that in just a moment. But I'd like to reemphasize the point I was making with the children, that our mothers are truly some of the great teachers in our lives. They are special gifts, showing us love and how to care. As the children mentioned, about loving God, not being mean, being nice, etc. Mothers are great teachers, and we see in Scripture that it is the mothers, and of course fathers, by association, who have the primary function of our early teaching for Jesus Christ and to come to know Him. Proverbs 22:6, everybody knows that by heart. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm sure my mother questioned that a time or two as I was growing older. Deuteronomy chapter 4 is a great teaching on the place of parents. It first of all tells us to be careful and watch ourselves, that we parents need to be careful and watch how we live our lives, because our children are watching. And they learn a great deal by watching. But it goes further, and it says, teach the children and their children after them. This is where Judy and I and the rest of you who are grandparents get our challenge to be the teacher as grandparents, because it clearly says, teach your children and then teach their children. And so we have a place in teaching our grandchildren. What did my mother teach me? I mentioned a few things. One particular pastor that I looked at some of his notes in this regard quite humorously pointed out a few things that his mother taught him. I'll bring a few of them to you, and as I said, quite humorously. He said, my mother taught me how to handle anticipation, because repeatedly my mother would say, just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me how to be an adult, he said. She would say, if you do not eat your vegetables, you will never grow up. Logic. My mother was a great teacher of logic, he would say. One of her lines was, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you are not going to the store with me. Logical. He said his mother taught him how to meet a challenge. She said, what were you thinking? Answer me. Don't you talk back to me when I'm talking to you. But you told me to answer. My mom, he said, also taught me about genetics. Genetics. You are just like your father. Her favorite subject, he would say, was justice. She loved to teach justice. She would say, one day, you're going to have children, and I hope they turn out just like you. I'm longing for that day. I think I've heard a few of those myself. What about biblical mothers? All the characters we have in the Holy Scriptures, imagine some of the biblical mothers and some of the lines that they might have said to some of their sons and daughters as they were growing up. Cain's mother, Eve. At one point, I am sure she said to Cain, stop wrestling with your brother. You're really going to hurt him one day. You didn't get that. He did hurt him. He killed him. Samson's mother. How about Samson's mother? Samson's mother, I'm sure, from time to time said, if you do not get that hair out of your face, we're taking you to get it cut. David's mother. The apple of God's eye, David's mother, she would say, I told you not to play in the house with that sling. You're going to break something. The mothers of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came in one afternoon. She said, would you please leave those clothes outside? You smell like you've been in an old furnace. Noah's mom. No, you can't keep those animals, and please stop bringing home strays. My favorite one, though, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She probably said to him, Would you please shut that door? You act like you were born in a barn. Humor in a sermon is not my strong point, but I couldn't help but share these with you. But I would like to turn to a more serious note and look at the example of teaching from a mother and from a grandmother that served a young man well. As I've said, I've probably heard some of these in my own life, but this story I'm about to read you, just a few brief lines about a young boy by the name of Timothy, being taught by his mother and being taught by his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. We will end our reading there, and I pray the Lord his blessing on our reading. Paul, of course, is writing to the young Timothy. Timothy was a disciple, but you have to remember how they met. If you go back and look in the book of Acts, Paul was in his first missionary journey, was in the town of Lystra, where he preached, where we believe Eunice and Lois came to faith. On his second time around in that community, he ran into the young Timothy, and that's where he became one of his followers. Here, Paul is writing to the young Timothy what would be Paul's last letter. Paul is sitting in prison as he writes this letter, a prison in Rome. We believe the young Timothy is in Ephesus, taking care of the church that Paul had planted some many, many years earlier. And Paul has a great, great love for Timothy. Tony and I were talking about it this morning just a bit, where a situation has arisen. And I use this very example where Paul is looking now back over the days that he had with the young Timothy. And the love and concern and just the passion he had for the young Timothy is coming to grips here, or coming to the surface here in Paul's writing. And put yourself in Paul's place. Paul realizes that his days are numbered. And so he is writing to those who mean so much to him. And he's talking about his love and compassion for the young Timothy. He said, I thank God night and day as I constantly remember you in my prayers. There are many that followed Paul, Barnabas, Titus, but it's Timothy that takes the forefront of those because of his love for him. Not only did he remember Timothy, but he prayed for him. And here is a man, Paul, that's been snatched away, taken away from his family. He's been taken away from his family and put out into the mission field. And so here, not having, there are no record whatsoever that Paul had children. So here, he refers to him as my dear son. So here's one that's been ripped away from his family, but yet he has that fatherly love for one, adopting him as a disciple, but as I said, almost as a son. He's emotionally moved. In verse 4, he says, recalling your tears, I long to see you. The tears, we believe, were shared at Paul and Timothy's last meeting. When they were separated, and remembering Timothy, Paul is filled with joy. But I'd like to turn now to the root of this relationship and what Paul is really commending Timothy about. Look with me at verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Now, there's a couple of ways he could have been reminded about his sincere faith. It could have been looking back over their times together when Timothy stepped up, being a young man in the ministry. He stepped up and fulfilled what had been taught him. But also, I'm sure, in the letters passed back and forth from the people in Ephesus who were very fond of Paul, they probably spoke of Timothy and talked of his leadership and his preaching and his teaching. But it is this phrase, sincere faith, that I'd like to dig into just a bit, because it is telling, the particular word Paul used in the Greek to speak of the young Timothy here. In the Greek, this word is anupakritas. I don't do a whole lot of language in sermons, but this one I had to bring out. Anupakritas. The root of the word is pakritas, and it is the same word by which we get our word hypocrite. Pakritas, hypocrite. But the phrase used just before pakritas is anu, which means not. Not. So Paul is saying to the young Timothy, your non-hypocritical faith is telling. I am reminded of your non-hypocritical faith. When do we use the word hypocrite? When do we use the word hypocrite? When we have things in our life that are contradicting, that are, use the phrase, two-faced, phony. When we have opportunity to meet someone that in this way they act in this regard, but over here we see them entirely different. Hypocrite. Paul is saying to the young Timothy that he's real, that he's not a phony, that he has no hidden agendas. Imagine that. This young man, Timothy, is you see what you get. In the pulpit, with the people, as he's in the streets, or as he's in the church gathering with the people, he's the same. He's the same always. Timothy had given the fullest proof of his sincerity of conversion and his purity of faith. The word purity comes to mind. Paul is commending Timothy because of his pure, non-hypocritical, non-phony, no false-agendaed faith. And where did the young Timothy learn this faith? Paul starts out in verse 3, I thank God. Because truly for one to come to this position in faith, truly for one to come to this grip of maturity in the faith, it has to be the work of God. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit empowering, teaching, encouraging, disciplining even. You'll notice Paul doesn't mention himself in this at all. He thanks God for the work in Timothy's life. But then notice who he identifies as the instruments by which God used. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, your non-hypocritical faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives also in you. Remember, Paul knew Eunice and Lois from his earlier trips to Lystra. Through his preaching, we believe that Lois, the grandmother, came to faith. And then here this grandmother shared with the daughter Eunice. And then in Paul's working in that first missionary journey, can't be certain of how much contact they had, but I don't want to push this too far, but would say that Paul had that teaching with Lois, being used by God to bring her to faith. And in Lois, he says, which I first saw in your grandmother Lois. He had that experience of where he saw this non-hypocritical, sincere faith in his grandmother Lois. And then also, as Eunice came on the scene, he saw that in her. And he says, now I see it in you. A non-hypocritical, sincere faith in a grandmother, in a mother, now being reflected in a son. Sincere faith, but also a stable faith. A stable faith that had endured over the years. Timothy could point to the teaching by his mother and his grandmother. As I was going through studying this and looking at some of the pictures some of the commentators would use to portray this scene, you see the young Timothy, a small boy, seated at the table with the scrolls rolled out in front of him. One picture would show his grandmother with a pointer, a stick of some sort that they would use to point to the words as they would read. And she was pointing out to the words as the young Timothy read, with Mama looking over the shoulder. Another picture would be the mother and son out in the garden, sitting there enjoying the scenery, and she reading from the scroll, and the young Timothy sitting at her feet listening. It's important to read Scripture to the little ones. A sincere faith. Matthew Henry writes, women may take encouragement from the success of Lois and Eunice with Timothy, who proved so excellent and useful a minister. Some of the most worthy and valuable ministers in the Church of Christ have been favored with and have had to praise God for early religious training made upon their minds by the teachings of their mother. Mothers have been a central figure in Christian tradition. I spent a little time going back through history and looking at some of the greats and to see if their mother played a role. The first one that came to mind was St. Augustine. St. Augustine was no saint, believe me. Quite a worldly man. Enjoyed the ladies. But his mother diligently prayed. Diligently prayed for him for years. And then in his book, Confessions, he writes of his conversion and attributes his mother's constant prayers to his conversion. Another lady by the name of Helena, or Helena, in the 3rd century was the mother of Emperor Constantine, who was an avid prayer. After she converted to the faith, Constantine was the emperor who converted the Roman Empire to the Christian faith. One of the great preachers of the early days of the early Christian fathers, John Chrysostom, he's referred to as the golden mouth preacher because he would preach and people were just slain in the spirit. His mother, Athusa, was vital in his life. My hero, Martin Luther, not his mother, but his wife, Katie, became an avid, vital piece of the ministry that he was in. I didn't know this until I ventured upon this, but they took in children. She herself bore 6 children, but at one point there were up to 30 children living in their home. Living in their home. Sometimes she would feed and teach these children. Also, as Luther taught in the university, many of the university students would find their way home with him and to other places he liked to venture. He would refer to his wife as my Lord Katie because she had such a spiritual place in her home. Susanna Wesley, John and Charles Wesley, they are the fathers of Methodism, but they were the second ones with that title. Miss Susanna had the title of the mother of the Methodist movement because of her teaching of her sons. Ladies, my point here is simple. You have such a power. You have such an authority and such an influence. We fathers and grandfathers, we have our place. But try this. If you and your wife or grandma or grandpa are out in the yard and the little one falls and gets hurt, which one do they run to? It's typically not grandpa. They go to grandma. They go to mama. Because of the significance, that place you have. Praying for your children and modeling a sincere faith may seem like an endless task. As I said, my mother prayed for me. I called her one day out there praying for my motorcycle. It may seem like an endless task, but please know that our Lord may use your very prayers to bring up the next great missionary. The Lord may use your prayers to bring up the next great preacher. Your prayers, Mother, may be the ones that bring the individual that's the next prominent Sunday school teacher in your church. Or maybe your prayers will bring about the next mother who raises beautiful children and teaches that sincere faith. Moms, grandmothers, please know the influence and the place you have with your children and with those who've come along beside you that are now your children. And I pray with all of my heart that it would be said of your children what Paul said of Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother and in your mother. Timothy could not have heard greater words. Lois and Eunice could not have heard greater words. That their faith, that God was good enough to duplicate it in the child.